When Family Promise got started in Montgomery. So could you just give us a little history about that?
Sure. Family Promise was started in Montgomery in 2006. So we just celebrated our 15-year anniversary and are going into our 16th year with a lot of changes going on.
All right. Well, good. Well, did you get involved when it started, or did you come along a little later?
No, I came along in 2014 or 15, when Bob Champion was on the board and Kathleen was the coordinator at our church. And I volunteered a couple of times with Family Promise. And then I took over as coordinator for Kathleen. And then my predecessor offered me a job, and I kept telling her no, and she kept telling me yes. And, so eventually I started work part-time that eventually very quickly went into full-time and then went into me training to take over her job so she could retire.
That's great. Well, tell us, update us a little bit on the house. And for those here that might not know, kind of give a little background on what y'all have been doing to what you purchased and how that's going.
Okay. Well, I mean, y'all know that we used to host in churches, and our families would go to host churches a week at a time. And that worked great until the pandemic hit. Our families were at Church of the Ascension that week, and we already had a pandemic plan in place. So we just went in that day, removed them from the churches, and we partnered with another nonprofit called Vision of Grace Transitional Homes. And our families were able to stay with them for about a year and a half through the pandemic. And then they hit some financial issues and needed to sell one of the houses. And, anyway, so it left us with scrambling to try to figure out what we were going to do next, and having a static site seemed like the most logical answer. So that is what we have done, was purchased a static site right there at 432 Clanton Avenue. I actually talked to the contractor yesterday, and we are hoping to have at least one unit ready to have a family move in by next Friday.
Really?
Oh, great.
But that's huge, and y'all are the first people to know other than Whittington, because she's Whittington and I tell her everything. But but it is we will hopefully have at least just the one unit open. We have a single dad and his two children living in our office right now, which is not ideal, but DHR did come and approve it. But I mean, we needed somewhere to house a single dad and two kids that were living in their truck. And I'm not letting them stay on the streets like that. And nobody else had any room for them. And we really didn't have room for them, but we made room.
That's great. So one of the units is going to be ready over here. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm. So when it's ready, I'll get you to come and see it before we move them in.
Absolutely, because that's kind of a before and after. I went on a little tour a few weeks ago, and it did look like it had a long way. Well, that's great. Okay. Tell us with respect to that, I know that there's been some setbacks. You've had a break-in. What you know, some of your needs are with the house there.
Well, we are going to need a refrigerator for one of those units, because that is one of the things that got stolen. And then we've got a stove coming that's being donated. We're going to need beds to put in those units. We'll need a queen size bed for each unit. So really our current just going to be the two, going to be the downstairs units until we get the upstairs units finished. Mm-hmm. And then we want to put either bunk beds or a day bed with a trundle in the opposite bedroom. Other than that, I think that we're mostly covered as far as furnishings go. Junior League donated some money that's going towards the kitchens, and supplying breakfast room tables and chairs. So not Junior League, Working Women's Home Association did that. But I think that what we need most is for the money that we've already asked for to be reimbursed is to come in. So if we can pray for that money.
Yeah, is there anything specific about that? I mean, besides, I mean, of course, we'll pray for it. But
most of our grants are what you call reimbursement grants, where you spend the money and then you bill them for the money you've already spent and then they pay you back. So, currently I have about $90,000 worth of bills that I've already sent out that we're waiting on that have been, that started back in November. So started billing for all that stuff in November.
And are they saying, giving you any sort of timeline on that?
Well, I did get one email yesterday saying that 24,000 of that would be ready in a check to pick up this afternoon. So it's trickling. But I do need much more than 24,000 to even the upstairs finished and the cottage even started.
Right, right. Well, tell everybody about the cottage now that you brought that up.
So the cottage is completely gutted right now. I don't know. Tom, did you see it before?
I saw it. It was partially gutted, I guess, when we saw it.
Where okay.
The cottage is right behind.
Same location.
But it's just a
backyard. So the cottage has been completely gutted. We uncovered a really cool double-sided fireplace, which we will not be using, but it's cool to see it. But while we were waiting on things like tile or toilets to come in, or the bathtubs were the biggest issue because we couldn't use standard size bathtubs. So those were really, really difficult to find. And then when we did find them, our order got canceled four times, I think. So it was just the constant process of reordering and reordering. But we do finally have those now. But while we were waiting on all those supplies to come in, they did some demo on the cottage just to pass the time and so that they weren't sitting around twiddling their thumbs. So right now it's completely gutted. Our intentions with the cottage will be to have, a commercial style kitchen, small, not like a big fancy commercial kitchen, but commercial appliances in a kitchen area so that our churches can still provide some fellowship. And there will be a couple of grills outside and some picnic tables so that when our church volunteers do come to the property, they can still provide some fellowship by providing dinner and having a kitchen to use and having those grills to use outside. And then our office will be in what's the bedroom over there right now. Well, now it's just a big giant room. So.
And tell everybody about what you vision outside in the outdoor space.
So we'd love to turn that into a courtyard area. We have been the only shelter that provides shelter for families and pets, to my knowledge, ever in the state of Alabama. And like none of the other family promises even do that. So we would like to continue to help families keep their pets when they come into our program. And so we will fence in that area so that dogs can go into the fenced in area to play with kids and things like that. We're also going to have a paver sale and sell pavers to put down and make a courtyard out of that area. And then we'll put picnic tables and a couple of grills out there. We also want to do a raised garden out there so that we can teach families with that commercial kitchen how to cook on a food stamp budget. How to cook healthy meals on a food stamp budget. So typically families go into grocery stores and it's cheaper to buy cheese puffs than it is to buy broccoli. And that's a huge component going into like a holistic approach to ending homelessness and getting people in a more secure position financially and healthfully. And that's the goal of that for us.
Well, take us through the process of if an individual comes to Family Promise. How does that work kind of from the beginning if they want to go through your program?
So initially we do a phone intake. So they call us. We do an interview over the phone that kind of just gives us an idea of what's going on in their home life and how not necessarily how they ended up homeless, but where they've been for the past 3 weeks. And then, you know, we asked them, could you pass a drug test? We asked them, could you pass a background check? Things like that. And if there are any openings in our program, we'll call those people in for an interview. That's more a more in-depth in-person interview so that we can get all of the details about what's going on in their lives. And then they will enter our program after a drug screening and a background check. And then they're typically with us for 30 to 90 days. Our average is 54 days. And during that time, we do extensive case management that includes financial planning, job training, if they need it, job getting into a job, if they need that. It just depends on what their personal situation is. But we're covering all of that in case management. And what we've always relied on our churches for is that fellowship time and prayer with the families, and getting to know them spiritually is huge for us to have our churches involved for that.
So are you still going, like, different churches have different, when you move into the new place, different weeks, or is it just kind of an ongoing thing with all the churches to have, you know, interaction with the families?
So I'm going to be sitting down. I've got two of my coordinators at big churches, and then, of course, I'm the one at our church still. So the three of us are going to sit down, and we're going to come up with a really comprehensive plan for what that looks like. But I do think it's important to have the coordinators involved, especially two that have been with me the longest, in figuring out the new ways that churches will stay involved with that part, that aspect with our families.
That's great. Any questions?
How many units will you have in the house?
There will be four units at that house. Each one is two bedroom, one bath. And then the current property we're in now, I'm not sure what we're going to do with that building yet, but I am toying around with the idea of turning it into a duplex. That would not be, it would not be a super difficult thing to do the way that it's already laid out. And I think it could very easily be turned into a duplex to house another two families at that property.
Do you get to the point where you have to turn people away because you don't have room?
Yes. But that was when we were only hosting two to three families in churches. So I don't know what this is going to look like, that we could, you know, potentially be doubling our capacity. I mean, right now we're at 200% capacity because we have people in beds that we don't really even have. There's no other shelter in town that's at 200% capacity, but 200% capacity looks very different for us than it would look for, say, Salvation Army.
Right. What kind of individuals do you have on your staff? Are they like social workers?
Typically, me and a worker. I'll have a bookkeeper on staff, and we usually have a van driver for our transportation program on staff.
What's that? The transportation program. What do you do there?
We get our children to and from schools and parents to and from work if they don't have a vehicle, or if the kids are already in a school when they come to us and they're not, and they don't necessarily go into the school that they're zoned for, then we would have to get them to and from school, because we definitely don't want to uproot a child and move them from one school to another in the middle of a school year.
Right. That's a lot of questions.
Jamie, how does it work now? I mean, you've kind of done some families come into your program, but then as they're going out, there's still sort of a transition there, as I recall, from the past. Do they continue with you once they get into their own place again, or are you pretty much done with them at that point?
No, I'm never done with them. They are sometimes done with me. Which feelings that they don't want to look back. But I do try to make sure that families know that they can always call me if they need me. I mean, I have one mom that calls me probably, I'd say, once every 2 months and she has been gone from the program for 3 years. But she will, I don't know, you have probably all heard me tell the story about the little girl that used to call me little lady. And she'd say, little lady, can I have a piece of candy? Little lady, can I have some Cheez-Its? But they knew that my office was always full of snacks and whatever for the kids. But anyway, her mama calls me on a regular basis, but it's more so like, hey, I have this friend and he really needs some help. And she'll tell me his whole story and ask me if I have any room for anybody and things like that. She's constantly trying to get new people into our program because it worked for her.
That's great. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about the spiritual side? What do you do as far as the gospel of these people? Find out where they are spiritually.
So, I mean, one of the first questions that we do ask is, do you have a church home? Part of that has always been, we'd love to find you a church home. Another part of that has always been to make sure that their church home was not on our list of congregants that they were going to go and be staying with. Because we do protect the, we do try to protect that aspect of people's lives. Like we don't, we're not trying to humiliate anybody in our program. I offer to pray with everyone. I can't force everyone to pray with me anytime. But I do always offer that. And then of course, when we were in the churches, it was a lot easier to offer things like that. Do you want to go to church with them on Sunday? Do you want to go to church on Wednesday night? Do you want to go to Bible study? Do you want to do this? And I'm hoping that getting into this building and getting our churches back to being involved in the process will help that on again some more. You know, like maybe we're going to, I mean, Trinity has already offered to host our families every Wednesday night. Ascension has already offered to host our families every Sunday morning. They offer breakfast. And then we will hopefully have, you know, Bible study and fellowship at the new property where churches come and volunteers come and do that with our families.
That's great. That's a great idea.
Go ahead.
The family promise, the new family promise house place.
Yeah.
Did you get that?
Oh, no, I just heard the family promise.
Say it again.
When can we come back to the family promise house? The new.
Buddy, you can go by there anytime you want to.
Okay, go ahead. One more question.
Miss Amy, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
My favorite flavor is definitely chocolate.
Me too.
Woo!
Okay. Jamie, we've not seen the lady that joined our church. I can't even remember her name. Her daughter was Trust. What?
Galate?
Yes. Is she still in Montgomery?
Last I heard, yes. I will actually try to contact her today.
What is her name?
Shalata. Yeah.
That's been a while, huh?
It has been quite a while. I just was thinking of her last week. I maybe part of a conversation about Family Promise, but not seen her in a couple years. Trust, I think, was at Montgomery Christian School.
Yes.
She might be.
I'll talk to Pam, and I'll try to call Shalata.
Yeah, I don't think she's there now at Montgomery Christian School, but she could have aged out of that even already.
Yeah, well, and she was renting from Bob, so he may know, too. Guys, sorry, I've got two labradoodles trying to climb into my lap.
Where does all the funding come from? Does it come any from the government, or does it all come from individuals and churches?
Some from the government. So the government started a what they call this ESGCV fund, which is COVID relief money. And that is where we got the grant money to purchase the building and do the renovation. A lot of our money comes from churches. Usually it's about 30% of our budget comes from churches. 30% comes from fundraising, and about another 30% comes from the government, and about 10% is private donors.
What do you do for fundraising?
Well, in years past, we have had, what they did, Hogs and Hens, before I came on board. And that was like a barbecue fundraiser downtown. And then we started doing a silent auction, an online silent auction, and that worked really, really well. We tried a virtual 5K during, COVID, and that was a bust. Usually it's the auction is the every year fundraiser, and then we kind of mix in a couple more to do that. But when COVID hit, everybody did an online auction. So we will be rethinking the fundraising as well.
Right. Questions? Well, tell us what your biggest prayer concerns are right now so we can pray for you. We have your prayer requests on our list, but is there anything else? The funding, making sure that's coming through, I'm sure is huge.
Yeah, the funding is right now is maybe the biggest thing. It's not that we don't have the money coming. I know it's coming. It's just a matter of really God's timing. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Friday was a tough day for me. I was trying to figure out, you know, what was getting paid and what didn't have to get paid right away and that kind of thing. And then, you know, yesterday I got that email saying that money that I billed for back in November was finally here. So, you know, I told Whittington yesterday, it's all in God's timing. And I know that it always does happen. It's just really hard to see it happening when it's on the other end and it's the Friday before. And then, you know, just pray that we can get this move in done smoothly and that everything goes smoothly and we can get these two units downstairs open so that we can really do what our mission is, which is, you know, house the most families we possibly can. You know, I had big plans to open up four units and have all these open houses and have people come through and see everything and all of that kind of stuff before we open. And it's just more important right now to get people off of the streets.
Do you have a number of children that come in with families? It's a lot of times the families with kids.
I missed it.
A lot of times families that come in, they have children. Is that a big part of it? The families you take in, a lot of times, are there children?
Are they mostly ones with children or?
But they all have children. And to be in our program, you have to have children under the age of 18.
Okay.
So we have got currently, I mean, there's a 10-year-old and an 11-year-old living at my office, which is, it's just not ideal. But before they were living in my office, they were living in a truck. So, I mean, it's more important to me sometimes that, you know, we go into the office and the intern and I went in one day and then a friend of mine who does volunteer work for DHR, we're all at the office one day moving everything around and trying to set it up to make it look as homey as possible so that they would have somewhere to sleep that night.
Is there ever an opportunity for families in the area to have these families over to their house for a meal and to have fellowship? You know, where there are kids in the family that are hosting these other families, like the single dad and the two kids. Do you ever, does that make sense where you have opportunities where families, maybe fairly close in the neighborhood to have them over for a meal and just to let them play with the kids in that house? Or?
Well, we have had one of our church members that had a family over one year and provided Christmas dinner for them. And we don't, it's not that we discourage that, but we discourage that for the sheer reason that, most of the time it's not that we don't want that to happen. It's that our families don't really feel comfortable with that. You know, it's very kind for people to invite them into their home, but at the same time, during this transitional period of their lives, it reminds them of a lot of the things that they don't have or they're unable to provide for their own children or, you know, something like that. And so we typically try to shy away from them going into other people's homes and seeing all of the video game systems and the toys that you know, and that kind of thing that they maybe can't provide for their own children. Does that make sense on that level? I mean,
well, we'd love to pray with you if you have
that little bit of time. Do I have a little bit of time? I do, like 2 minutes.
Two minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll keep on praying after you leave.
Yeah. All right, I'll open us up, Tom, if you'll close and anybody wants to pray.
Sure. Yeah.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for Jamie and her heart for the homeless in Montgomery and what she pours into this ministry, Lord. We just ask that you would encourage her today and give her strength as she moves through this transition at the house. Lord, we just ask that you will open up the doors to the grant funds, Lord, and bring those to her. She tries to manage that in the best way she can and to continue to run the program efficiently. We just pray that you will be with the families in Montgomery and that need her help. Pray that they will find her and that you will minister to them physically and spiritually, Lord. We ask this all in your name.
Lord, I also thank you for this time to be with Jamie. I thank you for her heart and what she's doing for these people. And, Lord, that you would bring the funds in that are already designated, that they would come through to for her. And as they continue to work on the house and get the units ready, that they can reach out to more people. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity that these people might see the love of Christ, the people working with them and helping them in different ways. So it's so encouraging to see that we can be involved in this ministry and make a difference. So again, I just thank you for this time and thank you that I know more about the ministry and the impact it's making in lives in the Montgomery area. So be with Jamie and be with the ministry, I pray in Christ's name.
Heavenly Father, I just pray that for these families, I pray for the opportunity for them to get feedback on the ground and have a place where they can call home for a period of time and for the kids to have a place to actually stay and not have to stay in a truck or some other place like that. Just thank you for all the different churches involved and individuals that are helping out for Jamie and her heart for this ministry. And I just pray that these families will be able to get back on their feet and the kids will have stability in their lives. And pray for all this construction and pray for this place of fellowship where these people that live in there can get together and other people can come visit too. Just have a time of fellowship and time where they can be encouraged.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and just for Jamie's heart of compassion that reflects your heart compassion for us, and the ways in which she has been drawn into this ministry in many ways, and I know it's very taxing and trying on her, just to know these families and know the anguish that they've been through that brings them to her office, her doorstep, and I pray that you give her strength and wisdom, and that she would continue to rely on you, and as she goes forward, thank you for the funding resources that have been available, and we pray that you would speed the process of those bureaucracies that move this money, that it would be here, that the contractors can be paid, that the expenses can be met, and that this house can be completed. We pray for a provision of the additional furnishings for the houses and for the completion of the office, and just then good wisdom with the other building for how to continue using that in an appropriate way. Lord, we pray for these families that even as they go through the financial and emotional struggles of being homeless, that they would come to you, that they would be drawn to you through Jamie and through the others that work with her, through the people from churches as we come back on board with this, and that we would reflect the light of the gospel into these families, and that they would come to know you. And so we ask in these things in Jesus' name, that you would be glorified through this. In Christ's name I ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen.